Right, we begin on Chavdalad Amid Beis. We're on the bottom. We are two lines from the end. What?
We're almost done with the Masechet.
Yeah, Chavhei. We're doing Chavhei.
When is the Siyum?
We have not decided yet. That's still up for debate, discussion, whatever you want to call it. We will discuss. We're in the middle of discussing when, how, etc.
Please let me know as soon as you make a decision.
I will not as well. Do I have to let you know just as soon as I let you as we find out, or do you give me a few minutes or a few days?
2 minutes.
What's my 2 minutes? Okay, I appreciate that. Appreciate that. Exactly.
No, because okay. I never mind. I'll explain later. I have a reason for wanting to know.
Okay. Fine. Chav Dalet Amud Beis. Here we go. We're on the way bottom. We're going to be doing Chav Hamad Aleph tonight, Mr. Hashem. I'm Rav Yehuda Merav, b'chol yom v'yom, every single day, baskol yotzis v'omeres.
How many lines from up from the bottom?
We are two lines up from the bottom.
Okay.
B'chol yom v'yom, baskol yotzis v'omeres. Every single day there is a baskol, there is a heavenly voice that comes out, that emanates from the heavens, and says, kol ha'olam kulo nizom b'shvel chanina b'ni. The entire world is being sustained because of Chanina. And remember, we're speaking about Chanina ben Dosa, who was this incredible Tana. And the Baskel says that the entire world is being supported because of Chanina, my son, Chanina Bani. And yet, Chanina, my son, Dayo, he suffices, Bekav Charuvim Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos, with just a Kav of Caribs from one Erev Shabbos to the next Erev Shabbos. So he himself eats very little and he sustains the rest of the world.
That means the whole world is being sustained by one Kav of Charuvim.
No, what do you mean?
Yes.
Where do you get this from?
Because he's being sustained by that. He's sustained the world, and he's being sustained by that.
No, he himself is being sustained by one kav, but the rest of the world is being sustained with great sustenance and abundance. He himself just gets... All he needs is one kav. But he sustains the rest of the world with many, 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 many kav.
Is pshat that because he ate so little, that his most nefesh gave us close to the rest of the world?
No, I think the point is that despite the fact that he is mashpia on the world such abundance, he himself, he is porish. He is porish from that abundance.
That's his porish that...
His precious.
His precious that gave the rest of the world his exclusiveness.
Yes, perhaps.
His
yes.
Sidkis,
his sidkis, right. We're going to see other stories that that speak out his greatness and his tzidkus. Anyway, so the Gemara goes on and says, "Havirvila the beast to lemechma tanura kol mali de shabsa." His wife would commonly heat up the oven on every Erev Shabbos, v'shadya akitrasa, and she would throw in some kitores, she would throw in incense into that tanur, mishum kisufa, because of embarrassment, meaning she had very little food, they were very, very poor, and she was very embarrassed that everybody else, all of her surrounding neighbors, were baking up these feasts for Erev Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos for Shabbos, and she had nothing. They had very, very little food. So she would instead, she would heat up the oven, and she would throw in this incense to make the smell emanate and make it look and smell as though there was abundance coming from her house, where in fact there was very, very little. She had a very rotten neighbor, and Amra, this neighbor, said, "Mechti, let me see what's going on here. Yadana de les lehuvlomidu. I know they've got no food.
They were yentas back then.
They were yentas back then also, the Zaraya. Maikulihai, what is going on with all of this smell?" Azla, so she went, Vitarfa abava, and she was rapping on her door. This I heard and nothing more.
This is the bad neighbor.
This is the bad neighbor, was rapping on her door.
Woman.
What? Yeah, I guess she, yeah, it was a woman. She was rapping on her neighbor, somewhere on Chanina Ben Dosa's wife's door.
Mrs. Ben Dosa.
What? Mrs. Ben, right, exactly. Rebetzin Ben Dosa. Ichsefa, she was very embarrassed. This is Rebetzin Ben Dosa. Va'ayla le'indruna, she went into the other room, into a dark room, because she didn't want for anybody to see what was going on, or what was really not going on in her house, because there was nothing happening. Isavidla Nisa, but a nace happened to her. The Chazila Tanura Malilachma, it appeared in the oven as if there was a tremendous abundance of of lechem, of challah, the agna malid lisha, and there was a basket of that was filled with lisha, with dough. And Amrila, so the woman who sees everything going on there, she says, Planisa, Planisa, madam, or Rebbitzin, whatever she was, I don't know. She was a rotten neighbor, so maybe she called her madam, I don't know. At any rate, I see, so the woman, so Rebbitzin Bendosa came, and Masa the, I see Masa the Kacharich Lachmech, I'm sorry, she said to her, Planisa, Planisa, madam, bring your Masa, your pitchfork that you're able to, that would enable you to get all of this lechem out of the oven, the kacharech lachmech, because your lechem is singeing, meaning you're going to burn. It's going to burn.
Sound like it's so bad.
No, what do you mean? It's an ace that's happening.
No, but it's not that the neighbor is telling her to take care of her bread.
Yeah, take care of her bread. No, well, are you saying she's actually a nice neighbor?
Well, that part seemed like she did
shuva. It was Elul time. She was doing shuva.
If this nis hadn't happened, she would have had something very rotten to say.
She has a right, exactly. Had this nis not happened, you can bet she was going to give her one of those jokes, right? It's going to be a joke with a punchline. Anyway, Amrullah, so she said to her, Rebbitzin Bendosa said to her, yeah, af anala hachi aili. That's why I went up into this room. I went up into the room to get my pitchfork so that I can take down, meaning I knew there was going to be a nace happen to me. Meaning I knew there was going to be this bread in the oven. I went into the room to get my fork so I can take down the bread. She was lechora saving face because she didn't know.
Was it the one with the snake? Let the snake bite on the show?
That's Rabbi Akiva, I think. Rabbi Akiva's daughter, no? You're talking about Rabbi Akiva's daughter?
Said it's not the snake that killed
No, Nachash may meet, the Chayt may meet, or...
No, that's... You're talking about a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. You're talking about something
else. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
It's not the snake that kills, it's Yerberes that kill.
Yes, I think that might be Rabbi Chanina Mendoza. I don't know. It's not in this Gemara.
He was in Tunisia. He could do a lot of Tunisia.
No, he was. No question about it. No question about it. And we'll see a couple stories that suggest the same thing. Anyway, Tana, it is learned, that af hila havi merida nechnasa, that in fact she did go to the room to bring down her merida, which is the merida is what they used to, the tool that they used to use to do redias hapas, to take the pas out of the oven. Mipnei shemelumedes benisim, because she was so accustomed to nisim, that it didn't surprise her one bit that if she went into the dark room, that she would come back and see bread inside the oven. That did not make her flinch, because she was so accustomed to these nisim happening to her all the time. Anyway, back at the ranch, Amrele, she said to him, to Rabbi Chanina Bendosa, she being Rebbitzin Bendosa, said to her husband, Amrele Dvisu, so her husband said, his wife said to him, Ad emas nizav an itztar kuli hai, how long do we have to go and be so mitztar, be in such dire straits that we can't afford anything? So Amrela, so he said to her, my nevid, what can I do? What are the options? This is what we have. So she said to him, "Boy Rachmi, why don't you ask for sustenance? Denis Bulachmidi, that Ribbono Shalom should give you something." So Boy Rachmi, so what did he do? He went and he davened. So Yatsa, he's a good husband. He did what she said. Yatsa kemin pisas yad, out of the heavens came a palm of a hand. The Yavu lechad kara de petura de dava. She was only going to be eating on a table with two legs, because that one leg that she was given with this piece of yad that came out of Shemayim was taken from this three-legged table.
Are you talking about a circular table? I mean, like three legs sounds.
Whether this is in fact a round table. I'm not going to get into this machlokas bishon. It is beyond the scope of the daf shavua.
Has all the legs it's supposed to have, or if it's missing a leg, and if she got the leg, then it's missing.
It has all the legs that it's supposed to have.
With three.
I think he's
with
right,
three.
Though. It has to be circular.
Okay. Now, does that make
it? Unless it's like circular or triangle or something.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Very good.
Why are you laughing?
What do you think of Callus? Is this a round table or is this a triangular table?
I personally think it's a
or is it a square table that has three legs?
If you go my eye in on this, it shows it's a trapezoid.
It's a trapezoid table. It could be a trapezoid table. You know that. Three legs would be.
Does the art school bring any pictures?
Does art school have any pictures? This is an older art school version, so I don't think so. But the newer.
We need Moshe Stengel with his.
Yes, exactly. It would come out with a round table. At any rate, I don't know. Tzarech Iyun Gadol is all I can say to that. Anyway, Amrilai, she said to him, or Amar La, he said to her, Nicha lach de mechala achli kuli alma patura de meshalim. Is it okay with you? Are you okay with the entire world, meaning all of the tzaddikim eating off of a three-legged table, va'anan apatura de machaser, and yet we're going to be eating off of a table that's missing?
How is it staying up with two legs?
It's not. That's the point.
It's not. That's the point.
I just asked that.
Chaser. It's chaser.
Okay.
It can't be. That's why it was in a dream. I mean,
this is all metaphysical, though. This is all intramind. It's not a physical table like this type of table.
All
on the higher
scales.
Symbolic.
Okay. Any other questions like this? Just getting out of the way now.
I want to know what the challah knife looks like in Shemayim.
Okay. The challah knife, we'll have to discuss that another time. Amrilay, so she said to him, Umay Navid. Really, it should be Amr La. We're on the probably 12th line, 13th line of the first line. The first word of the line is Amr Le. It should actually be Amr La. A lot of these are kind of flipped around. If you see the parentheses are actually switching the pronouns. So it's Amr Le. So it should be Amr La. He says to her, "My Navid, what can we do?" Amr Le.
Amr Le.
Okay. At any rate, fine. She said to him, fine, my Navid, what can we do about this? Boy Rachmi. So she says to him, please, daven to Hashem again. The Nishkalinu Minach, that they should take back the leg. The leg that they brought down to you with this palm, please have them take it back. So Boy Rachmi Vishakluhu. So he did, in fact, daven, and Shamayim took back the leg. Tana, it is learned, Gadol haya nes achron yoser min arishon. The latter nes of them taking it back was even greater than the initial nes of them supplying him with the leg. Why Degemiri? Because it is known, Demiyahiv Yahvi, Mishkal lo shakli, that Shamayim will give, but Shamayim will not take back. So typically, when Shamayim gives something or does a nes, they will not take back that which they have given, that which they have performed. Here, the nes, the double nes was not only did Shamayim provide, but Shamayim actually took it back as well. So that was an even greater nes.
I don't understand this.
Yeah, it was a round table. Okay, tell
no, us. I think I get the point.
The golden leg that came was complete, so that they would have three legs.
The leg from the golden table was given to them as payment, so to speak, as payment for all the stuff that they've done. I mean, they needed support, so they were given this symbolic leg of the table in order to sustain them.
It was going to take away
from Zechusim and Shemayim.
Right,
that's the ultimate point, right? They wanted something, they needed something, or the wife felt that she needed something to support herself with in this world. So Shemayim gave him the leg, and with that they would be able to
sell it, I guess.
No, I mean, it's unclear what the purpose of it is, but the ultimately what Shamayim was showing him was that by getting things in this world you are being machasa yourself, you're going to be limited.
You're losing a portion in this world to gain in this world.
Right. Is that what you want? Is what you want the leg? You want the leg. That's the... Right? The point is not really what are you going to be doing with the leg and how is the leg going to be sustaining. It's really not the point. The point is this leg, which you're trying to be mechaser in Olam Haba in order that you get in Olam Hazeh. You're trying to... So it doesn't work that way. In other words, if you want things that you're not entitled to, it's going to cost you. That's what it's saying. Right? Are you okay with this?
So when he's davening for Rachamim that they have a chaser table, when the rest of the
not
world...
Not that they should have, but that...
He just
that
his wife
have.
Tells him.
He's not davening that they... That they what?
They do have a chaser table.
Well, now
his
that,
wife's bothered by
right,
it.
Right.
Right?
He's davening, take it back. I don't want to be chaser.
He was just davening for sustenance, and
right.
then it turned out that he got the sustenance by losing part of the portion in the next world.
Again, this is
and then we saw
on
that.
The level of Chanina ben Dosa. This is not necessarily for me. Yeah.
You and I aren't going to... It's not going to happen, though. Sorry.
But the gold leg was taken back.
That's me in symptom. Kind of you maybe, yeah.
To me, Chanina for sure.
Not know as much about professional sports as me.
When she saw when she saw that the sustenance in this world is going to be on the cheshbon of losing a portion in the next, she said, give it back. I don't want it.
Okay.
I don't think you're satisfied. I don't think that's not an okay that you're okay with.
That's not what I see when I hear the story. That,
what are you saying?
I thought she's complaining.
She's complaining. She's,
that they have an unstable chaser table.
Well,
and then they end up losing the gold leg. Right? That's what gets taken back. So...
Again.
It goes back to the table, so that's three legs. You understand?
What's that?
When she saw they were going to lose part of the portion in the next world, because a two-legged table is not good enough. You can't use it. It's like that means her portion wouldn't be complete in the next world.
Just the basic principles that a nace takes away from the schusim. They got a nace, it took away from this schusim, and therefore, and they got a second nace actually.
Okay.
Does that work?
I'm not sure.
I understand
the
point. I don't understand how the story is getting to the point to that point.
I don't. Do you know the story? Do you understand the story? Okay, we have the.
Apparently not.
They have no food. So she says to her husband, "Please get me food." He says, "What should I do?" She says, "Daven." So he davened. So Shemayim supplies him with a leg.
Right.
Okay, this is a symbolic leg. The leg is saying, "If you want food, I will give you food." But know that what it's going to do is it's going to cost you in Olam Haba.
Where do we see that in the story?
Because
the leg. No, they gave him a leg.
Because okay. The tzaddikim in the next world had at a table with three legs.
She sees that night, she sees in her dream that all the tzaddikim in Olam Haba have three legs and they only have two. So she realizes the leg that I was supplied with today is symbolic of the fact that in Olam Haba I'm going to be chaser. I'm going to be lacking. Right?
Okay.
So she says, Davin, that the leg should go back. I don't want to lose any of my chelik and olam haba because so that I should have sustenance in this world. It's not worth it for me.
Okay.
All right? That's the story.
Toda rabba.
And I'm sticking to it. Now, the Gemara goes on to a beautiful, beautiful story. This is a great story. Chad Beishimshi, one Erev Shabbos. One Erev Shabbos. Chazia Librase, Tahavas Atziva. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa saw his daughter who was very sad. Amrla, he says to her, Biti, my daughter, Lamaya Tzivas, why are you so sad? Amrla, she says to him, Kli shel chometz nischalefli bekli shel shemen. I was supposed to be lighting the Shabbos candles with a kli shel shemen, but instead of putting shemen in there, I put vinegar in there. Vihedlakti mimenu or le Shabbos. And I lit the candles with this vinegar.
It wouldn't light.
It what?
You can't light.
The truth is, actually, vinegar does light, but vinegar that we have doesn't light. The vinegar that they're speaking about doesn't light.
Really?
Anyway, it is Akasha. How was she able to light it to begin with? But at any rate, somehow, she's able to light it, but she's atziva. She's sad because she realizes it's not going to last. Because technically, vinegar isn't supposed to burn. So she somehow manages to light it. Don't know how, but she did light it. And she's sad because she knows it's not destined to last. Because vinegar doesn't last. It doesn't burn. So she's sad about that. So Amrla, he says to her, Biti, my daughter, Mayech Maslach, why do you care? Why is this so upsetting to you? Misha Amr Lashemen Vyidlok, Hu Yomar Lachomitz Vyidlok. He who said that the oil should burn will say that the vinegar will burn. In other words, Hashem, who determined that oil burns, will determine that your chometz, that your vinegar will burn as well. What's he saying? He's saying like this. The Vorta is like this. For you and I, who live in the world of Teva, so oil burns and vinegar does not burn. So we have a problem. Because the oil is supposed to burn and the vinegar that you will it instead is not going to burn. So she's sad about that. But Rav Chanina Mendoza did not live in this world, see? Rav Chanina Mendoza lived in the world of Nes. Rav Chanina Mendoza recognized that there's no such thing as Teva Bechlal. Even when we recognize things as Nisim, babies are born and orchards are grown and things happen in this world that are outstanding, we always recognize that Nes as a Nes Shebeteva. We always consider it to be Teva. Yeah, it's a Nes, but it's a Nes Shebeteva. But Rav Chanina Mendoza didn't live in that world. Rav Chanina Mendoza, everything was a Nes. So he said, it's a total Nes that oil should burn. If it's a Nes that oil should burn, it'll be a Nes that vinegar will burn. So for Rav Chanina Mendoza, there was no chiluk. There was no difference between oil burning and chometz burning. There was no Teva Bechlal. Everything was a Nes. So for him, he said, what's the problem? It'll burn. Don't worry about it. Tana. So the addendum to this story is, Hayodolek v'holech kol hayom kulo. It in fact lit the entire day, even though technically, normally, a Friday night a candle is only going to light for a certain amount of hours. Here it lit all day to be mefarsing the nes that happened with Rabbi Chanina and his daughter. To the point where they were able to bring from that the or for the Havdalah. Unbelievable. That's just a beautiful story. That's the Madrega that Rabbi Chanina Mendoza was on. Everything is a nes. It's a beautiful story. Famous story. Rabbi Chanina Mendoza, Havulei, Hanach Izi. Rabbi Chanina Mendoza had a bunch of goats. Now the Gemara is going to ask, how on earth did he have so many goats? He just said he was poor. But anyway, he had these goats.
Are all these Tanas have goats?
Why do all these Tanas have goats?
I think it was very common back then. It was very common back then.
Yeah.
For milk.
Goats were a big deal. Now, what? For the milk. Yeah, for the
a lot easier to take care of a goat than a cow.
What?
Yeah,
yeah, there's a Gemara in Beitza, which your father learned that you did not, that Rabbi Eliezer was incredibly wealthy, and he had tons and tons and tons of goats. Hundreds and hundreds of goats.
I think it's a lot easier to take care of goats than cows.
This is spoken from a true rancher.
No, I'm not a true rancher, but they're much smaller. They're much less intake. They don't eat as much. They don't.
There you have it. There you have it.
Historically, okay. We were a farm society.
They do eat a lot, but they just farm society. Grass.
You can drink the milk.
Right.
The milk is perfectly fine.
You can drink your milk and eat it too, right? Okay. Anyway, he had these goats. And Amrule, they said to him, the people, the neighbors, come mafsidin. These goats are really, they're eating up our field. They're being mafsid us, making us lose. Amr, he said, if they're really making you lose anything, nichlinu dubi. Let the, translate dubi literally. Dubi are bears, literally, but Rashi says that they were wolves. At any rate, it doesn't really matter. Dubi are technically, literally, bears. How does their art school translate them?
Bears.
Bears. Okay, is there a footnote on that? Because Rashi does say there's a even. But I guess maybe not. Maybe he goes with the literal dubi. Anyway, if in fact these goats are being...
The word is... It suggests that the version read... Deve may wolves.
Wolves devour them. Very good.
Deve is Aramaic.
Yes, for Zaev. Exactly. So Kamafsa, so he says, if
so
in fact...
Zion becomes a Dalet?
No, Dalet becomes a Zion. Right. Dalet and Zion are very often interchangeable in Gemara. Okay? Anyway, he says, if in fact they're being mafsid, let the bears or the wolves come out and devour them. V'ilo, and if not, kol chada v'chada, each one of these goats, tasty le'orta duba b'karnayhu. At night, they will be carrying the wolves with their horns. La'orta, what happened that night? I see kolchad v'chad adubi b'karnayhu. Each of the goats came out with wolves on their horns. So in fact, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa was right. They were not being mafsid anything. Havali Ahi Shivvasa, he had this this neighbor, not the same bad neighbor. He had a different neighbor. He had probably a neighbor on different sides of him, right? Anyway, the Kabanya Besa, she was building a house. Velomatu Kishuri, and the pole on top of the house that she was building, or whatever, the roof, it didn't quite make it. Meaning that she had underestimated the size of the house, and she had these lechis, but the korah on top was not quite big enough. It wasn't long enough. Terrible thing. Asya la kamei, so she came in front of Rabbi Chanina Mendoza, she started complaining. Amrele banisi beisi, I tried to build this house, lo kamatu kashurai, but the kashura, the korah, the pole on top, is not quite reaching. I don't know if he had some kind of architectural degree, and she was complaining to him because of that, or maybe she was looking for an ace, or maybe she was just looking to complain. But anyway, Amrele, he said to her, Mashmech, what's your name? Amrele, she said to him, Ichu, my name is Ichu. Amar, he said, Ichu nimtu kishurech. Ichu, your pole should reach. And Tana, it is learned, Higiu ad sheyatsu amalakan va'amalakan. It reached so much that there was the pole was actually sticking out, an ama on this side and an ama on this side. So not only did it reached plus. So that again, to be mafars in the nace, the Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa did. V'yeshomer, and some people say, snifin asom. There were actually extensions that were built that popped out of these poles, and it was able to reach because of these snifim, these extra branches that kind of popped out of the poles. At any rate, it was a great nace that he performed. Tanya, it is said in the Braisa, Tanya Plimo Omer, Plimo says, Ani Raisi Oso Abais, I saw the house, Vahayu Korosov Yotzos Amalakan Va'amalakan, and the poles were actually sticking out an Amo on each direction, Va'amruli, and they said to me, Baizeh Shakira, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, Betfilaso. This is the house that Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa roofed with his tfilos. So there you have it. Somebody who actually testified this actually happened. He's the Home Depot. He's the new Home Depot. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's Depot. That's what he's called. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's Depot. Okay? Any comments? Anything? Go right there.
I think we're going to answer Young Callis' question.
Young Callis' question, which was?
How Tzadikim had all these goats.
How did Tzadikim have all these goats? Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa mehechan habulay izim. How did he have all these goats? V'ha anihu. He was a poor man. V'od amru chachamim. And furthermore, chachamim said. He did. He wrote the Gemara. V'od amru chachamim. And the chachamim said, ein megadal behema daka b'eretz Yisrael. Not only that, you're not allowed to be megadal. Not allowed to raise behema daka in Eretz Yisrael. You can't. Literally thin animals, smaller animals, you're not allowed to be megadol. Why? Because they tend to eat the grass and eat up other people's fields. So you're not allowed to do it in Eretz Yisrael. Now the Gemara in Bava Kamma stipulates that if you're doing it in the Yar, in the forest, or in the Midbar, or in the desert, then it's okay. But Mistama, he was doing it in his backyard, which is a problem. So A, how could he have goats because he's poor? And B, you're not allowed to do it in Eretz Yisrael. So what's the shot with Rabbi Chanina?
Why can you do chutzarts then if they're damaging other people's fields?
The
problem with chutzarts too. Why is it? Why just?
It was a takana made specifically for Eretz Yisrael, so that we to maintain the grounds of Eretz Yisrael. Why are we not worried about the grounds of chutzarts? Don't know. At any rate, Amar of Pinchas, or Pinchas says, Maisa, there was
you got
a story.
The tree huggers, too.
Tree huggers, very good. Okay, I'm glad we got that on tape. Amar of Pinchas, Maisa, there was a story of Avar Adam Echad al Pesach Beso. There was a man who passed by his house, meaning Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's house. V'yaniach sham tarnagolim. He left chickens there. Umatzasan Ishto, his wife found it. Shel Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's wife found it. Va'amar la, and he said to her, Al tochli mi beitzehen. I don't want you to eat from their beitzos, from the eggs. Beharbu beitzim, and what happened? The chickens had many eggs. the Tarnagolim, and then they ended up having many Tarnagolim, the Hayu Mitzarin Osam, and they were causing them much grief, because with all these cuckling and plucking and whatever it is, it was really causing them grief. So what did they do? Machran, they sold them, the Kana Bidmehen Izim, and they sold and they purchased with the money Izim, goats. So that's how they got the goats. They got the goats because they were doing the mitzvah of trying to do the mitzvah of taking in the Aveda, this person's lost chickens, and the chickens were causing them harm. And actually, in this week's parasha, there's the whole mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda that says that if the animals are being mafsid you, meaning that they're causing you, so then you don't have to tend to them, right? Anything if it's causing you're allowed to sell them. You can sell them off. So that's what they did. They sold them, and they bought izim, goats that were apparently easier to handle. Pamachas.
The izim were easier.
Oh, very good. Okay, good plan. Where's Shkoyach? Pamachas. One day, Aver Oso Adam Shavdu Mimeno Atarnagolim. The guy came back to collect his chickens. The Amar Lachavei, when he said to his friend, the Kanhi Nachti Atarnagolim. This is where I left my chickens. Shali. Shavu Rabbi Chanina overheard this conversation, and Amar Lo, he said to him, Yesh Lecha Bahem Simen. Do you have a simen to prove that they're yours? Amar Lo, Hain, yeah, I got a simen. Nasan Lo Simen. He gave him a simen. V'natol Esa Izen. And so therefore he took the goats, which came instead of the chickens. V'hain Hain Izei Da'aisu Dubi Bekarnayhu. Those were the goats that carried the bears or the wolves on their horns. And so that answers how it was that he had goats to begin with. He was simply watching them for somebody to collect them back after he would provide the simon. And that, my friends,
so that's like,
will get it done.
Is that a p'tur? Like, you can keep it in there as well?
Oh, so very good. So the question remains still, how was he able to have it in Eretz Yisrael? So one of the, I saw somebody, I forgot who it was, who answered that maybe he was megadol them in the forests or in the midbar. But if you look at the gra, if you look at the Hagosa gra over here, the little aleph on the side of your gemara, I don't know where it is by you guys. I have it on the inside part. But if you see Hagosa gra, the Hagosa gra actually puts in parentheses the entire part of the Gemara that he was an ani, and also it's also to be megadol behema daka be'eretz Yisrael, right? That whole taina of the Gemara is taken out. Why did the gra take it out? Lechora, because it was never answered. It was never an answer. The Gemara never provided an answer how he can be megadol izim be'eretz Yisrael. At any rate, you still need to understand exactly what he was doing with these izim b'chule. You have to come on to some kind of answer that he was raising them in the forest or in the midbar. I don't know.
And also, if he's able to, like, everyone comes to him, he's like the wishing machine or something.
Right, the tooth fairy.
Yeah. And how is he poor? Like, why can't he just daven for himself for once instead of everyone else?
It's a good question. Why is he not davening for himself? I don't know. I think Rabbi Chaim Mendoza recognized, based on the story that we learned before, that this was his lot in life. This is what he's supposed to get. It's actually interesting that you bring that down, because the next story will address the very question that you are raising, which is about creating wealth. Right? Creating wealth when your destiny is not to have wealth. Let's see the next story. It's a fascinating story with many different deeper meanings. This is hard to learn on a very Pashto level, but we will do it because that's what we do. Rabbi Lazar ben Pedas, dechikale milsa. Rabbi Lazar ben Pedas was very, very poor. Tuva, he was extremely poor. Avin Malsa, he did Malsa, which is bloodletting. And as we know from previous stories, bloodletting makes you very weak. You need to eat after bloodletting in order to regain your strength. V'lo havale midi limitim, he had nothing to eat after the bloodletting. Shakel brad tuma, he took a small piece of clove of garlic. V'shadya bepume, and he threw it in his mouth. Chalosh libe, his heart became very weak. Vinim, and he fell asleep. Azal Rabbanan l'shiulebe. His the Rabbanan came to see how he was doing. Chazyuhu dekabechi b'chayich. They saw in his sleep that he was crying and he was smiling. V'nafik tutzisa denura miapuse. And there was also a bright shine coming out of his forehead. Ki asar, when he finally woke up, Amrule, the Talmidim said to him, "My timer kabachis v'chayacht. What was the reason why you were crying and smiling?" Amr Lahu, he said to them, "The Hava Yasiv imi Akarish Baruch Hu. Akarish Baruch Hu was sitting with me. Va'amrile, and I said to him, Ad masa yitzar b'hayalma. How long am I going to be mitzar in this world? I have nothing to eat." Va'amr li, Hashem said to me, "Elazar b'ni, nichalach da afche la alma mereisha. Will it be pleasing to you? Would you rather that I turn over the entire world from the very beginning? Efshar demisyaldas b'shata demizoni, and then it's possible that you'll be born at a time where there's more mizonos, where there's more for you to eat." So Amri lekamei, I said to him, to Hashem, "Kuli hai v'efshar. You're going to turn over the world, you're going to start everything from scratch, and it's only possible that I'm going to be born in a time where there's... How could it be? You're telling me all this, you're going to turn over the entire world, you're going to start everything from scratch, and it's only sure that I'm going to be born in a time where there's mizonos? How can that be?" So he says, Amrile. So I said to Hashem, contemplating this whole... option that I have of turning over the entire world, dechayitvei or dechayana? Do I have more life to live, or is what I lived, the amount of years that I lived outweigh the amount that I have to live? In other words, have I lived most of my life already? Amrle, so Hashem says to him, dechayisa, that which you already lived is greater, meaning you have very little time left to live. So Amri lekameh, so I said to Hashem, Im Kain, if that's the case, lo bo'ina, then I don't even want you to do anything with it. There's no point in you turning over the world. Just leave things the way they are. So Amr li, Hashem said to me, Bahai Igra, with that reward, the Amr that you said, lo bo'ina, I don't want you to turn over the world. Yahibna lach la alma da'asi, in the world to come, I am going to give you the following. Tlesar nahavrasa, naharvasa, I'm going to give you 13 rivers. The mashcha afir simon, that are, that have afir simon oil. How do they translate the mashcha afir simon? It's some kind of balsam. Balsam.
What is balsam?
Balsam oil? Balsam oil? What is not balsam? Are you kidding me? What's balsam?
Balsam's like wood.
What?
Balsam is wood. Balsam.
What? Balsam is a wood, isn't
No, there's a wood called balsam, but not balsam.
Those therapeutic oils called again?
What? Some kind of therapeutic oil? What?
What are they called? What are therapeutic oils called again? It's like a big industry now, though. What's it called? Whatever it's called, that's what they are.
Okay.
Oils.
Therapeutic oils.
Alternative therapeutic.
Right, okay. Dachyan, that are pure. Kifras v'diglas, like the Euphrates River and the Chidekel. What's the Chidekel? It's the...
River.
What?
Tigris River.
The Tigris River.
I like the Chidekel better.
Okay. The Ma'angas behu, so that you should enjoy them. So that's what Hashem gave him. But his schar for not making Hashem turn over the world was that he would get 13 rivers that were flowing with this this balsam smell or oil.
That's why he was smiling.
Oh, so that's why he was smiling. That's why he was smiling. Now I guess he was crying because he was told that what you have left to live is very, very little. But that's why
you're dying next week.
You're dying next week. But hey, this is what your lot is in the world to come. Amri lekameis, so I said to Hashem, "Hi v'sulo, this is all I'm getting. This is my olam haba is just going to be rivers, meaning that's all I get." Amr li, so Hashem said to me, "Ulachavrech mayohivna. Well, if I give you more, what am I going to give to your friends?" So Amri le, so I said to him, Hashem, Va'ana migavra delesle boina. Am I seeking something from somebody who has nothing? Meaning, I'm asking you, Hashem, you are Ein Sof. You can provide anything that you want. So just give me more. What do you mean you're going to be taking from my friend? Just give me more. You can take it out from anywhere. What did he do? Hashem did the following. Machyan be'iskutla apusai. So he flicked me on my forehead with his finger. He flicked me with his finger on my forehead. And that's why his forehead was shining, because of the flick from Hashem. Va'amr li, and Hashem said to me, Elazar bri geri bach geri. My arrows are being shot at you. Meaning this is Hashem saying, my arrow, my flick is going at you. Meaning I shot you with my arrows.
Is that okay. A good thing or a bad thing?
It sounds like Rashi says, L'chedva b'yalma amrki. He said it as a... kind of with a smile, he said to him, "This is what I'm giving to you, so to speak." I don't know exactly what his point is. It's a very very deep story, which we don't really have a whole lot of hesber on. Anyway, that's the story with that. So there's another story with somebody who was very poor and who was seeking more from Hashem. And the answer, very plain and simple, was this is not your mazel. Your mazel is not to have this. If you were to have more, we would have to turn over worlds. And it's simply not that's not the way. Okay? And how exactly you balance this whole thing about the mazel with the power of the koach of tefillah to grant you greater wealth and greater sustenance is a topic for another time, but that's the Siyum. What?
Someone can speak about the Siyum.
Okay, it's a good thing to thank you for volunteering.
I appreciate that. I'm volunteering you.
Thank you very much. I'll get your thesis in the morning, and then you can speak about it at the Siyum. Thank you very much. I will let Rav Milinowitz know that you're willing and able to speak on this subject. Thank you, Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina. Rabbi Chamin bar Chanina Gazer Tanisa. He was Gozer at Tainis. V'loas Mitra, but the rain did not come. Amru Le, they said to him, V'ha Rabbi Shua ben Levi Gazer Tanisa v'asi Mitra. Well, your friend Rabbi Shua ben Levi was able to do it. So come on, man. Get with the program. Amr Lahu, he said to them, Ha Ana, Ha Bar Levi. This is me, and that's Rabbi Shua ben Levi. In other words, Rabbi Shua ben Levi is on a much higher madriga than I am. What can I do? Amrulay, they said to him, "Denesiv nechavin daitin. Why don't you bring Rav Shuv and Levi here, and you'll be mishtatef in your kavanos, and you'll be able to bring rain after the tavrit zibur li bayhu. Maybe with your kavanos, you'll be able to break the hearts of the people, and everybody will sing, will cry out to Hashem in unison, and da'asi mitra, and then rain will fall." Meaning the two of you will have the impact to be able to shatter the hearts of the people, to get them to be mispalel, and everybody in the schus of everybody's tefilos, you'll be able to bring rain. So bon rachmi, they did in fact do that velo asimitra, but it didn't work. Amar lahu, so he says to them, to the people standing around, nichaluchu, is it okay with you sheyavo mitra bishvilenu, that the rain should come just in our schus? Meaning we had tried to get together to be mishtatef the entire tzibur in a tefillah that would bring rain, but it wasn't successful. So maybe me and Rabbi Shum and Levi ourselves can bring rain because we have that koach. So in fact, that's what they asked him if they could do. And Amr Lohain, go ahead and do it. So Amr, so he said, Rakia, Rakia, Kasi Panecha. Heavens, cover your face, meaning bring clouds. But it didn't do that. Amar, so he said, Kama ozin pnei rakia, how brazen is the face of the heavens. So ichsi, so finally the heavens did in fact cover up with clouds, va'asa mitra, and the rain came. And that's a nice story. Levi gazer tanisa, Levi, so that was Rabbi Shua ben Levi. This is Levi, the father. Gozer tanisa v'loasa mitra, the rain did not fall. Amar lefan of Ribono shel Olam, he said to Hashem, Ribono shel Olam, alisa v'yashavta b'marom, you went up and you sat in the heavens, ve'ena tamarachim al banecha, but you're not going to have any rachmanis on your children. So he's really chastising Hashem. Asa mitra, so the rain came v'itla, and as a result of his brazen words, he became lame. Levi became lame. Amr Rabbi Lazar says, La'olam al yatiach adam dvarim klepi mala. A person should not be brazen, should not speak badly to klepi mala against Hashem. Shahare Adam Gadol Hitiach Tvarim Klap Yamala, because a great man did that, the Itla, and he became lame as a result. Umanu, and who was that man? Levi. That was Levi in the story that we just brought down. I, says the Gemara, that's not true. The Ha Garmale, is that what caused him to become lame? The Ha Levi Ach Vikida Kame Derebi. As we will see in the Gemara in Megillah, Levi was showing showing Rebbe how to do Akida. Akida is a type of bowing. We have Ishtach Avaya, and we have Akida. Vayikod Apayim Artsa. We see by Eliezer, by Avraham, Vayikod Avraham, that they actually just a type of bowing. How exactly they did the bowing, I don't know, but they used their thumbs to help support themselves. So Levi was showing Rebbe how to do a proper Akida. And Ve'itla, he became lame. So we see he did not become lame because he was Hitiach Dvarim Klapei Mala. He became lame because of this Kida that he tried to do. He tried to pull off the old Kida, right? It's the oldest trick in the book. And he was unsuccessful. So the Gemara says, yeah, Havaha Garmale. Both of these things caused him to become lame. In other words, the Kida is what caused him to become lame. In other words, that's what actually brought about the lameness. However, it was because he was hitiach dvarim klapei mala that Hashem decided that the kida that he did would cause the itla, the going lame. So it was really a result of both. One is why did it happen? Because he was hitiach dvarim. How did it happen? It happened when he was doing the kida.
What was the chutzpah declaration that he used?
He said, "You went up, Alisavi Ashafta Mamarim. You Hashem, you sat up in the great heights, but you're not doing anything for people down here. It's a chutzpah." So Hashem punished him with the lame, with being lame. Now, how exactly is becoming? How is that a midah keneged midah? I don't know. I don't know what the midah keneged midah there, becoming lame because he was hitiach dvarim klapei mala. In that sense, I'm not really sure. That requires a little bit of iyun. But anyway, the Gemara wraps up with a story. Rab Chiya bar Lulaina, Shamin hulahanach anani. Rab Chiya bar Lulaina heard these clouds, the Ka'amri that were saying, Nisu v'nisvi maya ba'amonu Moav. Let's go to the other nations. Amonu Moav didn't exist at that time, so it must be referring to the other nations. Let us go and bring rain to the other nations. Well, Rabbi Chiya bar Lulaina wasn't very happy with this, and Amar he said, "Lefana Ribono Shel Olam, Kishenasata Torah LeAmcha Yisrael Chazarta Kol Umos HaOlam." When you brought the Torah down for Am Yisrael, you went first to the Umos HaOlam. The Loki blew up, but they didn't want to take the Torah. The Achshavatanosin Lahem Matar, and now you're going to give them rain, and you're not going to give us rain. What's the pshat? So Shadu Hacha, I want you to send the rain here. And so Hashem, in fact, sent the rains to their place, meaning to Klal Yisrael. And we will stop here. One second. Yeah, let's stop here. Okay. Back to you.